And George, we have a special in-studio guest.
Yes, we do. We talked about Kyrie Irving last week, the NBA superstar who has thrown out several times he believes the earth is flat. And I told you guys, since I live in Denton County, that I know of a guy who lives in Denton who firmly believes the earth is flat. And he's got a lot of other hot sports opinions. And his name is Patrick, and he's come all the way down from Denton to join us in studio. Good morning, Patrick.
He followed the curvature of the earth to get down here to our studio.
All right, so let's hear some of your background. Where are you from, Patrick? Did you grow up around here?
Half and half. Originally, I was born in Chicago, moved down here when I was 9. So I grew up right down the street in Arlington and been kind of everywhere in between, but landed up in Denton about 10 years ago.
How old are you?
38.
38. He looks like any red dirt guy that you would bring in here, musician.
Yeah, he was going to have that.
He has the red dirt look.
Country singer look to him.
Country singer look to him, yeah.
10 years in Denton.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to school in Arlington?
Graduated from Lamar High School. Okay. Shackleford Junior High. And then,
Lamar Viking.
Absolutely.
Okay. Did you play football? Did you play for Eddie Peach?
It's kind of a sensitive one, but...
Way to go, George.
Officially, I played for Eddie for one day. So
What happened?
I decided to wrestle. This guy, Kerry Edwards, happened. He, first day of varsity football practice, cleaned my clock, and I had gotten pretty used to delivering those hits, not receiving them, so I decided to do something that was based on weight classes as opposed to standing my ground.
Okay, fair enough.
Wait, now I'm confused as to what happened. You quit football and you went into wrestling?
I did. I started wrestling my junior year in high school.
Okay, so you got hit once and that was enough for you?
Yeah, well, it was 6 years of football and I was the captain for several of those years.
Well, scoreboard.
So, you know, I could take a hit, but it just it seemed like the dedication that it was going to take to take it to the college level.
I don't care about any of that. Okay, so at that time, though.
As Deion Sanders said, he made a business decision.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
At that time, did you believe that the earth was a sphere?
I did. Firmly. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. And you served in our military, right?
Very briefly, yes. When I was in high school, I applied to West Point, and actually after a year in college, reapplied and received a congressional nomination. So I went up there for basic training and a semester. So I was really actually technically only in the military for about 6 months. But when I was there, I served well, was honorably discharged, and I'm still extremely patriotic and supportive of the armed services.
At West Point, did you think the earth was round?
Most definitely, I thought it was a spinning ball still, yes.
Okay. So at what point did you start feeling that this sucker is flat?
Yeah, when did the coconut hit you on the head and changed all your beliefs?
I guess it hit me on the head a few times, and culminating in this final thing with the flat earth. But the first was trying to understand exactly what happened on 9/11. I was in school down the street at TCU and saw all of it firsthand on television. I actually heard it on the radio first thing in the morning. My Jeep had gotten stolen out of one of the parking lots, and so I woke up early to go. I thought somebody was playing a prank on me, and so I went to go look for it, and all that stuff came on the radio, and so I instantly went back and was watching everything on TV, and basically it just didn't add up for me at the time. And
from the very beginning, just seeing the burning buildings, that didn't add up to you.
Well, we were all sitting there. I was actually working a construction job at the time, and every one of us turned and looked at each other and said that looked like a building implosion. And then 2 minutes later, there was a firefighter on there saying he heard a bunch of loud explosions, and that to him, a professional firefighter, that looked like a controlled demolition, not the story that we were all being officially fed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of sparked this thing in me where I started looking into conspiracies over time and just trying to understand how it was possible that somebody could pull a deception of that size over on the American public and on the world, really.
You're talking about 9/11 still?
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. So a few years ago, I got kind of sick and was stuck in the bed a lot and had time to research a few other things, which led me into the moon landings, and I had always heard there was some people that...
Oh, my gosh. Okay, wait. We've got to pause for just a moment. Go back to 9/11 for a moment. So you hear it just doesn't add up to you, and then you hear this one firefighter say this.
Oh, I mean, I could spend days talking about 9/11.
Well, I'm sure you could, but I'm saying...
You know, missing airplanes.
That's what just got me started thinking that there could be something.
If there were 100 firefighters that said that it looked like a plane hit this and then the building collapsed on its own... those firefighters, you wouldn't believe them, but this one firefighter, you would believe.
It's not necessarily that. I wasn't, when I was in junior high, I was eventually elected, or not elected, but voted by the student body as most outstanding student, and this is something that, again...
Can we get back to 9/11, though?
I mean, sure. I'm just trying to let you know that as far as my ability to critically investigate on my own, it's pretty strong.
But isn't it weird, though, that all these critical investigations lead you to the conspiracy side of things? I mean, have you ever thought that maybe there's a psychological component going on to this that's leading you to believe that nothing is straightforward?
Absolutely. Sure. You're going to go through moments of self-doubt, right? But
right.
Especially when researching something like a flat Earth, all anybody that's encouraging you to research is regarding the flat Earth is to trust your own eyes, right? Is to trust your own senses. And I think that's really why this movement has grown so fast, because this isn't like a who killed Kennedy thing and who knows and what really happened on 9/11. I have no clue.
Do you believe Oswald killed Kennedy alone, by the way?
Alone? Absolutely not. No.
Okay.
I think there was, absolutely not. All right, so do you think planes also hit the buildings in 9/11, or do you think that was fabricated?
I'm not sure. I've seen evidence in both ways, and again, with a little bit of military background, you hear about some of these black ops programs going where they've got directed energy weapons and the ability to project holographic images, which make me wonder. I'm not sure. I think there was definitely some kind of military-grade thermite used to slice.
That's
all
what I was
those.
Telling George. George didn't believe me. I said there was military-grade thermite.
Okay, but wait a minute. These commercial flights are missing. Those people are gone.
Sure. Yeah. But, for example, you think it's all really well-tracked, right? You can pick any flight tracking site you want. Anyone you want, George.
Anyone.
And there's not a single flight tracked over a southern hemisphere ocean.
Yeah, what
right?
do you what
I can
you
get into
that
with you later and tell you why. Right, but literally, you get on any site you want right now and look at flights over the Southern Hemisphere Ocean, you're not going to see any more than 60 miles off of the coast of any given continent.
And given that, how can you say that Obama was born in Hawaii?
I think we've seen, though, it seemed like I saw visual evidence of the flight patterns that day of a flight leaving Boston, then doing a U-turn and coming back to
New
York.
What does the Southern Hemisphere have anything to do with this? If you have people who were on a plane, and now those people are dead,
and
their loved ones are grieving them.
Well, we're claiming that all these flights are really well-tracked and monitored, and I'm saying literally not a single flight in the entire Southern Hemisphere is being tracked.
How did the people die? How did the people on the flight die?
I don't know anyone that was on that flight. I haven't met anybody personally that lost anybody on any of those
flights.
So
you're a person with a lot of questions who does a lot of investigating, but when it comes down to using logic on a problem such as that's very simple, you go, well, I don't know. I mean, it just seems, I don't know these people personally, so how do I know that they're dead?
Yeah, we know someone who lost someone in 9/11.
For example, do you believe that there was Napoleon? Do you believe Napoleon ever existed?
Sure, I guess.
Okay, well, I've never met Napoleon.
I believe it. I can't prove it.
That's right. I mean, why haven't they shown us Napoleon's body? I mean, they show us a coffin, but they don't show us his body.
Why is that? Because they can't make money off it?
How do you know they can't make money off of it?
I don't. We could try.
But we just do this endless questioning thing that just makes it seem like there's something there when there's not anything there.
Sure, so eventually
I think you're doing with a lot of these conspiracy things. These people who died on the plane, and they have grieving relatives.
Have you met them?
Have I met grieving relatives?
Mm-hmm.
As he just mentioned, we know someone who died on the flight.
Okay.
Family that died on the flight. So now, does that change your mind, or do you just say, well, I still am going to maintain my same opinion, no matter how many people I meet that died on that flight? In other words, it's unfalsifiable. Your belief in the conspiracy is not going to be changed whether you meet some families who claim that they have someone who died on the flight. Because you'll just say, well, they're claiming that.
I don't think so. I think what I'm trying to do is consider all the available evidence, not just the evidence that I see on television.
What evidence could you get that would prove to you that 9/11 happened exactly as most people believe it did?
You could take 10,000 gallons of kerosene, aerosolize it, and then somehow explain to me how something that burns at 1,200 degrees can melt steel I-beams that are, 3 and 4 feet thick that don't even reach like a weakening point.
So someone explains all that. If you had a scientist that came in and explained all this to you, then you would say, okay, I was wrong.
No, because right. I've got all these scientists telling me right now that I'm spinning around and don't feel it, and that the surface of water is actually curving at a rate of 8 inches per mile squared, okay, but I can't measure it.
Flat Earth is fine.
How do we go from 9/11 to the flat Earth? How did we get
trying to get warmed up, right?
Okay, We're warming up.
So you started looking into all these conspiracy theories, and it led you to the flat Earth theory, and you liked the way that sounded.
I'm with you on the flat Earth thing.
I thought it sounded hilarious, but after after looking into the moon landings and realizing that when you go back and watch these videotapes 49 years later to the day, right, the greatest achievement in mankind's history, right? We blasted off from the surface of Earth and went 240,000 miles away in 3 days, and
so-called 240,000 miles away.
All of it, and. And you find out that there's no actual paper trail. There's no documentation of any of this. There's 700 boxes of missing telemetry data.
Right. Where are the emails? I'm with you on this one.
What were we watching here on Earth then? We were just watching a movie set?
Probably, yes.
In Arizona, I think that is where they stayed.
Arizona, maybe out at Area 51. Nobody's really sure.
Yeah.
So that led you to the Earth is flat.
And so for a few months, I was really upset by this, obviously being very patriotic, let's say. Mm-hmm. I was a little let down in the fact that I fell for it, number one, and held on to the belief so long that it took me so long to look into it. But then I started asking real quick, why would they fake such a thing? It can't simply be a profit motive. It's got to be for control of some kind, but why would they do this? And so... after researching the flat Earth topic for a while, it becomes pretty apparent that this was still the shape of the Earth was still a raging debate until they faked the moon landings, and that the whole point of the moon landings was to supposedly get far enough away from the ball-shaped Earth to capture a picture of it in its entirety, right? But once you realize that the moon landings are fake, trust me, all the pictures they're showing you from these moon landings are also fake, right down to the blue marble.
So the Russian cosmonauts are in on this too.
Absolutely, all nationally
it's a
funded
money-making deal.
So absolutely.
I've got two very big questions. Why would
$19 billion a year just for the U.S.?
Why would they, if the Earth were really flat, why would all of these countries want us all to believe it was round? What are they getting out of that?
They're getting control on a level that at first seems kind of funny. But when you ask yourself psychologically, what does it do if we convince everybody that they're really on this spinning ball that's this tiny speck of dust in this infinite cosmos, and there may or may not be a god, that really this magic force of gravity seems to...
Yeah, once you convince them of that... The whole people, then you start making money off of the people.
You can convince them of anything that,
exactly.
You know, for example, like a couple of airplanes full of kerosene can knock down a skyscraper.
Exactly.
Right? And everybody buys a hook,
line, and sinker. That's why we needed to get the round Earth theory out there where we could then do 9/11.
And you can,
because if we can get you to believe the round Earth.
Okay, hold on. Let me ask you my second question. This is the main question.
Globe in every kindergarten classroom, right? Ask yourself why.
This is the main question that I have for all flat earthers. How far out do you have to go to get to the edge of the Earth? And do you not think we are technologically advanced enough to find the edge of the Earth? Is there an edge of the Earth if it is flat?
I would say, as far as everybody's worry about or the ridicule it receives for falling off the edge and these kind of things, when you start looking into this a little bit, it again becomes very obvious that Antarctica is actually... a huge ice wall, that it's a big rim of ice that's making the circumference of the flat Earth and actually holding in all of the oceans, which is just really one.
So you
big
believe
ocean.
There is an Antarctica?
I do. I just think that it's
Have you ever seen this?
The rim of a swimming
you ever seen
pool.
It?
I have not. I have friends that have been there. Do you believe
why
that it's
you,
real? Since
why
I've
do
got
you
a
believe,
friend that went there?
Why do you believe these people's accounts?
Well, they've also got overwhelming amounts of photographic evidence.
Well,
that
so does Buzz Aldrin, so but we don't believe him.
NASA. Sure, but the problem is only Buzz Aldrin has the photos that Buzz Aldrin's
only
telling
Buzz
me.
Only Buzz Aldrin.
No, right? No. Okay, wait, but hold on.
So if you
hold on,
Craig's
wait,
logic
hold
here.
On.
I want to get back to how you envision, if the Earth is flat, the shape of it. Where is the edge of it? If Antarctica is the edge, that's only one edge, right? There has to be a whole bunch of other edge. And why have we not discovered the edge, and what is at the edge of the Earth?
Okay, so to try and paint a quick picture of the flat Earth model, what you're looking at is the North Pole is actually in the center. Think of like a big pizza. And
with Santa or without, by the way?
With or without Santa?
Is Santa real? Or is that a conspiracy, too?
I'm not even going there, but it's illegal to go to the North Pole, just like it's illegal to go to the so-called South Pole. So nobody really knows for sure.
All right.
It's illegal?
It is, in fact, illegal. It's the 1959 Antarctic Treaty.
That
I think it officially got ratified in 63.
Okay, so that's at the top.
But wait. I'm not sure it's illegal to go to either pole. I've seen...
Absolutely it is.
I've seen television programs that the recently departed Anthony Bourdain went to the South Pole 2 years ago and stood there. But I'm guessing that was fake.
Well, I didn't see him whip out a compass and show me that the magnetic pole spinning around in every direction.
Anyway, hold on. I really want to know how flat earthers view the Earth and what's at the edge and why we are not able to discover the edge of the Earth.
Okay, so again, let's start with the North Pole being the very center.
Okay.
And above the North Pole is Polaris, which is the fixed North Star. So it's the only star in the sky that it's fixed. It's going to remain exactly in that position it has since the beginning of recorded human history. Right, or you can believe,
you don't believe all those recordings. I mean, some of those recordings have been faked.
I try not to believe anything,
like
right? I try to critically examine and investigate for myself.
Okay, Patrick, you've already made a mistake here. You ought to say that the North Pole surrounds the entire Earth.
No, the South Pole.
Okay, so that's ice all around.
And
right?
So, yes, we're allowed to see.
In other words, our experience is equally explained if it's a sphere or if it's a flat Earth.
Most definitely.
If you have the surrounded by ice.
If it's surrounded by ice, it can't be a sphere, right?
No, I'm saying that it explains the experience both ways. These are two different explanations that explains the experience of traveling south in one direction, you will eventually just hit ice.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Right. How would you explain, though, if you traveled around what we call the equator and you never hit ice?
And so as far as Magellan or Columbus, however you want to think about people circumnavigating the Earth, it's always happened in a east-west, west-east direction. Nobody's ever circumnavigated north-south, south-north. So everybody, Captain Cook and these explorers back in the 1800s.
Right, but once again, if you traveled around east-west, around the equator, you never hit ice, which doesn't disprove the theory of the flat Earth that is completely ringed with ice.
No, just think of a round swimming pool, and you can swim in a circle in that round swimming pool, just like boats sail around the flat Earth.
But if the Earth is flat and I'm heading on a straight trajectory east-west.
You think it's straight, but it's not.
I see what he's saying. It's actually a circular...
Okay.
So my question was, if you got in a plane and you took off and you headed due east and you just kept going, or a space shuttle, whatever's not going to have to stop for fuel, and you just went in a straight line all the way around the equator, let's say, you would come back to where you started without turning around, which would indicate that the Earth was round. But what you're saying is you're just making a circle over flat land.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. A pizza is round. It's not a spinning ball, right? Which is what Neil deGrasse and everybody's telling us we live on.
Okay, but let me ask you this. How many miles from the North Pole do you have to go straight out before you hit the end of the Earth?
From the North Pole, I think it's...
Which is the center.
My math. I want to say it's like somewhere between 18 and 25,000 miles. In one direction, straight out from the North Pole. I should know that, and I apologize. But
that's okay. So let's say it's 18,000 miles. You don't believe that we have the ability to go 18,000 miles in however many days or weeks or months it would take, get to the edge of the Earth. And, like, again, if the Earth were flat, why would they keep that from us? What's the upside?
Money.
Why would they?
Because
here's what I would think. If the Earth is flat, they would be building hotels and piers over the edge of the Earth and views over the edge of the Earth, and they could make so much money by selling trips to the edge of the Earth. Who wouldn't want to look over the edge and look into whatever the void is? Why would they keep that from us?
I think it's mostly a matter of control on a few different levels, but primarily control on natural resources, right? So if you can tell everybody, we're running out of gas on this multi-layered gobstopper-shaped Earth, everything's scarce, don't run out of water, recycle everything. And again, I don't think being green is a bad idea.
And if there's a flat Earth, we would have untold resources. I mean, we have all the resources we need. For some reason,
yeah.
It's not finite basically, if it's flat Earth.
If you didn't like what's going on, you could just head south and move away from it all, right?
I
but they don't want everybody doing that.
If it's flat, do you believe in satellites?
I do not believe in satellites. No,
I don't
think there's probably some
how do we get DirecTV?
It's made up.
There's some neat stuff hanging from the bottom of weather balloons for sure.
That's true.
Right?
Okay,
but all these radio communications right now are all happening line of sight from radio towers, right? The tallest buildings in every city.
Are you kidding me? 96.7 barely works line of sight. So
they
got to
turn up the gain.
Let's do this. This is Randy from Denton. Let's Patrick from Denton. Let's ask him how we can improve the ticket signal next. It's 8:40 on the ticket. We have Patrick in studio from Denton. The spirited discussion has continued throughout the commercial break. We're back on the air now, guys.
Okay. Good to be back.
And before you guys get into what you've been debating during the break, I wanted to ask you one more thing about Patrick's a flat earther, and he believes in some other conspiracy theories as well. I've got so many questions, though, for flat earthers. You mentioned that that Polaris, the North Star, is the only star. So at night when we look up and we see the moon and we see other stars, and during the day when we see the sun, what are those?
Polaris being the only fixed star.
Oh, fixed.
So
okay.
There are other so-called stars, which are just wandering stars.
They rotate around us, or they just wander?
The sun, the moon, and the stars are all more or less making almost perfect concentric circles above our head every day. The sun and the moon are making a spiral graph pattern around the North Pole throughout the year, which is what causes seasons. But yes, they are all just as they appear, moving above our head every day, while the Earth is absolutely motionless underneath it.
If the Earth is flat, though, I just got back from Alaska. How do you explain that the sun is in the sky for 20 hours a day? At this time of year, and here in Texas, it's 12 hours a day, and in Australia or Antarctica, it's 4 hours a day.
So during the summer months, the sun is making its tightest circle around the North Pole, which means for 3 days a year, there's going to be the sun actually stays visible as long as you're above the, I believe, 60th degree north latitude.
So the sun's light doesn't reach all the way across the flat Earth.
No, it does not.
Okay, so it's circling like the center of the pizza.
And acting basically like a spotlight over about half the Earth at any given time.
Right. So it's always dark in Antarctica, for example.
Not always. When it's winter here, the path of the sun becomes whiter and illuminates more of Antarctica than normally gets.
And Antarctica, in your view, is the ice wall that surrounds the flat Earth.
Absolutely.
Which is circular, right? It is like pizza-shaped. The
sure.
Earth is pizza-shaped.
Is the sun, the moon, the stars, are they round or are they also flat?
I'd say they're round as far as they're circles. As far as the convexity of the moon or the sun, I'm not sure. When I closely examine the moon, I do see things that indicate to me that there is some convexity, like the outside of our eye to it, but to say that it's this spinning terra firma ball like NASA has presented to us, I think is
And there's
ridiculous.
Convexity on the Earth. The flat Earth, you also believe, has some convexity too, right? Or
not?
No?
Really, no. The tides seem to emanate from the North Pole, which maybe can give the illusion of a tiny bit of convexity, but no, they're scientifically flat.
Hold on one second. When we look at the moon, we can see it changes. It has different looks. Do you believe the moon is round? And what does the moon do? Does it rotate? Does it rotate us? Do we rotate it? Or if the moon is flat, why does it always have a changing face?
It actually doesn't have a changing face. It's got the face of the moon rotates, but we're always looking at the same face of the moon, meaning you can think it's absolutely coincidental that according to NASA, that it happens to be 40 times closer than the sun and 400 times smaller. So it exactly cancels out during an eclipse.
But it's flat?
I don't know. I think there's more investigation needed. I think that there are people that have the answer to that question, but I don't feel overly confident speaking on it. I can tell you that when you put a thermometer in moonlight, it will read colder, which is exactly the opposite of when you put a thermometer in sunlight. It would also seem that basically the properties of moonlight are almost exactly the opposite of the properties of sunlight.
NASA and just about every known astronomer, they're in on this thing, too. Are they just misguided, or are they in on some sort of conspiracy?
I've got friends in academia, and when I started hounding them with all of these proofs a few years ago, I definitely got the sense that they were not in on it.
They bought into the round earth.
It's not the right theory.
They did. What you got to do is head out to the beach several times and get there on a clear day.
Yeah.
And be there with a telescope or a high powered zoom and decide that you're going to measure the curvature of Earth. And I think for a lot of scientists in their specialties, that just never really came up, that they trusted NASA just like the public has for quite a long time. And
but are you going to trust the people who made these telescopes? I mean, you mean to tell me they can engineer those things to give us evidence that is inaccurate?
Sure, but again, these things are they're testable. So you can take your telescope and set up a known target and then move miles away from a flag or something that you placed in the ground and make that observation.
But how do you know that that's the same flag once you end up walking way far away from it? I mean, you don't know that that flag has not been altered in some way when you turned your back, do you?
I think, therefore, I am, so I can reasonably assume well, it sounds like you're telling me if I turn my back, some magic force is going to mess with my flag.
Correct. And you don't know that that doesn't happen, do you?
I do not know that for sure.
Right.
So if
I have to admit that.
We have 7.5 billion people on Earth, and if the Earth is flat,
supposedly,
none of them have been able to make their way to the end of the Earth. Is there something keeping people from the edge? Is it just that it's cold and icy?
That is a big part of it. If you decided to mount an exploration mission, again, it's entirely illegal. It's prohibited by independent exploration of Antarctica is entirely prohibited by the Antarctic Treaty, and has been for the last 50 something years. So as long as you go through this insane permitting process where you get everybody's permission to go to this place that officially isn't owned by anyone, they may or may not approve your permits. It seems
so. Let's say that Elon Musk got a permit and he was going to fly north south in a plane, and he flew. And he ended up going over the North Pole, and then he was going around, and it was consistent with a round Earth theory, his mission.
This has been done before.
Okay. Would you then just say, well, that was faked? Any evidence?
Absolutely. Anything that Elon Musk says or presents to the public.
Okay, because you have an opinion about Elon Musk. Because let's take his name out of it, because that seems to be a red herring that's getting you off the trail.
Well, it's just like Neil deGrasse.
There's this billionaire named John, and he flies this thing. And you have no preconceived notions about him. Okay, so he flies this, and he provides only evidence that seems to support the round Earth thing. You would just say that is faked evidence.
Again, unless the guy could take me out to the lake and show me that the surface of that water somehow magically curves at 8 inches per mile squared.
So he could take you in the plane, and it could show you round Earth, but you still wouldn't believe it because of some experience
you've
had on the beach.
Every time I've gotten in an airplane, the horizon's right there at my eye level, which is conceptually impossible if I descended above a ball 25,000 miles in circumference.
That would change your mind on the flat Earth thing. There's no amount of evidence. Any evidence?
Absolutely. If you can show me Lake Louisville has a 20-foot hump of water in the middle of it, I would change my mind. But I can take you out there right now and absolutely prove to you that the surface of that water is 100% flat over all directly observable distances, negating the possibility that gravity is a real force.
Why do you think, so gravity is not a real force?
Absolutely not. Neil deGrasse sprinkles that stuff on everything
What holds us to the Earth's surface?
Like, this doesn't taste good enough. Let me dump a little gravity on it.
What holds us to the Earth's surface?
Density does. So this pen, for example, when I drop it, the reason it falls is because it's more dense than the supporting medium or the air underneath it. Same reason as when I let a helium balloon go.
But still, that doesn't explain why it would go down towards the surface of the table. Just because it's more dense, why do things fall through air?
You just said it, because it's more dense. Why does a helium balloon rise up through the air?
But it still
because
doesn't,
it's more buoyant,
it still
or the air is moving
why
through
it would go down. I get that it can move through air, but why does it go that direction?
Because it's heavy.
Okay, but why does it go that direction?
And there's no other forces acting on
it too.
Except the potential energy
it
of
go,
well, there, when
what
I let
force,
it go.
But what force is pulling it through the less dense material?
Nothing. It's just falling.
Okay.
What's pulling a helium balloon up?
What's pulling that's the lack of density.
Okay.
But gravity is still working on that balloon.
If gravity's real, Lake Ray Roberts and Lake Louisville have to have like a 20 or 30, in the case of Ray Roberts, like a 45-foot hump of water in the middle of it, right? And I promise you, there's no hump of water.
I don't know if your math is an inch per...
8 inches per mile square.
8 inches per mile. That seems
Everybody
like
look
lot.
That one up. That's, go to any Earth's curvature chart you want. Okay. And also go to any distance to the horizon calculator you want. Right?
But quickly, why do you feel compelled to like really broadcast? Do you feel like it's your mission to get the truth out about the flat Earth, and that's why you have the car and the painting on your house and all that? You're just gonna have a mission from.
No, I just feel like maybe we're all still in first grade, and I somehow was the first one to get the news about Santa Claus, and I'm doing my best to tap all my fellow adults on the shoulder and let them know that this spinning ball thing is absolutely ridiculous when you look into it, kind of like. You know, some 9/11 guy, 9/11.
By the way, how did the Kennedy thing happen, real quick?
There's good videos on YouTube about it. It would seem that, as it turned out, it was a bunch of rich guys that didn't like what he was saying.
I agree with him here. There was a huge
sounds like a lot of evidence there.
There's also a Zapruder film that shows that looked like he got capped from the building.
Suspicious.
On
I don't know. There's a good theory that says the final shot maybe came from the gutter that was in front of
storm drain.
Drain. LBJ.
I don't know. It was some interesting evidence out there.
Yeah, but you don't believe in Santa Claus.
I didn't say that. The evidence for Santa Claus is somewhat lacking when you really look
into
it.
But have you ever seen the non-evidence?
I have.
Of the non-existence of Santa Claus.
Much like the globe, I used to believe in Santa Claus wholeheartedly.
Uh-huh. But, and then what?
And then I researched it. I looked into it for myself.
And? What'd you find?
Found out that there's not any evidence for...
Wait a second. You're big on, I have to go there and see it with my eyes to know for sure, right?
I'd love to go.
And you've never been to the North Pole because, as you mentioned, there's a big treaty that the government is being mean about us traveling.
The North and South Pole are off limits.
Exactly. So how do you know for sure that he's not live at the North Pole?
I do not know
for
sure.
You've never been there.
I never claimed that I did not know that he lived. I'm not sure what you're trying to say.
Santa's round two.
All right. Round so Santa is a real possibility.
Absolutely.
You should not speak out of turn and say that that there's no Santa Claus.
I apologize.
Okay. Oh, man, Patrick. We covered a lot of ground there. Thanks for coming all the way down from Denton.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
You seem like a nice guy. We don't agree with you, obviously, but you're nice enough to come down here and debate with us.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming down here.
Yeah. Gordo. George, right. Craig, thank you guys.
Thank you, Patrick.
From Denton. And you'll see him when you're driving down the street. He wants to let you know that the Earth is flat.
But first, a Tuesday edition of Gordo's Corner brought to us by Lunazul Tequila and Baker Brothers Plumbing and Air.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. Well, we're all still infuriated with our visit by our visit with Patrick, the flat earther. Isn't it frustrating to talk to conspiracy people?
Yes.
It's like you can't pin them down on anything because they're off to the very next thing. It's bop-a-mole.
It's like trying to talk to Jerry.
Yeah, I guess it's very similar to
that. He's the master of redirecting.
Push them together.
So how can you tell that the Earth is... Once again, it seems like, what's the Occam's razor thing? You know, is that the explanation is so much more complicated than the original thought, which is that the Earth is round. And if you have to come up with a more complicated explanation to disprove it, then it's probably not the correct explanation, the flat Earth thing.
Right.
When you're having to invent more things to explain observed phenomenon, the easiest explanation is usually the best.
Yes.
And he's got one thing that we didn't touch on. His idea is that the Earth is pizza-shaped. And I'm assuming that he does believe... Does he believe that the Earth rotates, or did we not cover that? Like, does the pizza really spin around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think we covered that. He believes everything rotates around the Earth, right?
Like, did he have the sun rotating up above the Earth?
Yes, but just in a circular pattern, not going all the way around us.
Why doesn't he have the Earth rotating? Well, how does he explain, like, a pendulum? Like the, do you pronounce it Foucault? I've never said his name. But you know, like the pendulum that we saw when we went down to Houston. Remember at the Science Museum, they had the big one there, and you see it, and it'll knock down the little pins that you set up in a circle up under the pendulum,
it
will knock them down as the Earth rotates up under the pendulum.
Right.
So how would you explain that if the Earth does not rotate?
He would say that that's part of the scam and that it's being manipulated by little,
in there
by little magnets.
It's too frustrating.
He was on to something with the Kennedy thing, though. The storm drain.
Die.
Never
you
heard
die
that
right
one.
Now. How does he explain if you dig a hole that you end up in China? As it was on Bugs Bunny. And as all our parents told us.
Right.
Have you ever done that? There's a website you can go to see, no matter where you are, you can put a pin in it, and it will show you exactly where the opposite point is on the globe. Like,
yeah.
If you dug a hole, where you would actually end up. It's usually always in the ocean,
right?
Where you'd end up.
The China thing never made sense because it's also in the northern hemisphere, so if we dug straight through, wouldn't we get to the southern hemisphere? From where we are?
Yes.
If the Earth is round.
And you went right through the center.
Yeah.
Of the sphere. Yes. And the ships on the horizon, did he ever explain how... He's saying that they never disappear from the horizon, correct?
Apparently, if you have
Patrick
a telescope or right camera, you can always see
them. He named a specific kind of camera, which I'm not sure even exists because I've never seen one. That's the other thing that frustrates me so much is that they'll believe any evidence that they haven't actually seen if they believe it. But if you mention some evidence that they haven't seen, I don't know. I mean, I've never met that person who ever said that. But they cite about 12 other people that they've never met that they've read online that agrees with their position.
And the 9/11 thing, it's like they can immediately come up with, well, that just can't happen. Because they can cite all the other examples where a commercial airliner has flown into a skyscraper and it didn't happen that time. We've never seen it before.
They'll do the old doesn't melt steel.
Right.
Okay. So it didn't melt the steel, but it weakened it.
And
the building collapsed.
And the concrete collapsed, and then it collapsed on the next one, and the next one, and the next one.
But some guy that they stopped on the side of the street who was running through with debris on his face said that it melted the steel. He used the word melted. And that was a guy who was there running from the building. And they'll cite that guy who used this informal language as a scientist. He said melted steel. And it can't melt steel. So therefore, everything about it is false. If you can disprove the one eyewitness that was running.
And back to the Kennedy thing. Yes, you would. What'd you have? Hundreds of witnesses there on the grassy knoll in that area? Yes, not everyone saw or heard the same thing. You could do that experiment anytime you want to. Take 20 people, fire off a couple of gunshots. Well, and don't say how many gunshots you fired off and see how many different accounts you have.
Well, the grassy knoll one I often give conspiracy theorists is there were, let's say, around 100 witnesses there in Dealey Plaza at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the exact figures right now, but I'm going to give you the rough, the thumbnail sketch of it. 100 of them. And they will often cite, 15 different people said that they felt like one shot came from the grassy knoll. I'll even up it. Let's say that 24 of the 100 said that. One quarter of them said that they thought at least one shot came from the grassy knoll. 75% of them thought that all three shots came from the book depository. Which do you think, to the conspiracy theorist, means more?
The 25%.
The 25. And they never feel like they have to deal with the fact that 75 said all three came from the building. Isn't it incumbent upon you to disprove those 75 rather than me disprove the 25?
Because they heard that one of those witnesses was told by a government official, you did not see them come from the building.
Ooh, that makes sense to me.
Where's the evidence of this official saying this to the person?
Well
the government destroyed that evidence.
Yeah, it's not out there.
Which ought to prove to you how important that really was. Since they destroyed that evidence, they knew that it was important to destroy that evidence. Only the government had the power to destroy that evidence. Therefore, that proves the government did it. It's impossible. So then why do we even talk to conspiracy people? You know why? Because they walk among us.
Yes.
They are in our families. They are our friends.
Yep.
that believe these things.
What are the great conspiracy theories that were proven to be true? And has that fueled all of the other conspiracy theories after? Or are there any?
Finley fascination?
What? What is that? I don't know what that is. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but there are true conspiracies.
Was there a conspiracy?
But the thing is you have to follow the evidence, and sometimes evidence will lead you to, yes, there are conspiracies, but you have to have some stipulation that we're going to agree on actual scientific evidence. It can't be some guy's friend said that their uncle said that they were involved in something. That's not good, hard evidence.
Was there a conspiracy theory when everybody thought the Earth was flat, that the Earth was really round, and there were only a few that believed that, and eventually they were proven correct, and that's fueled all the conspiracy theories after?
I guarantee you there were people who were round Earth or conspiracy theorists when the world felt that the Earth was flat. And you know why I feel that that's true? Because I think a certain percentage of the people are programmed to just want to believe something other than the company line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go against the grain.
We're going to go against the grain. And then as soon as we go with the Earth is spherical, they turned into flat earthers. They went back to being flat earthers. If you stick a stick in the ground, it will produce a shadow. And the shadow moves as time passes. And if the world was flat, then two sticks in different locations would produce the same shadow.
Right.
But they don't. And it's because the Earth is round and not flat.
Right. Right.
So if I said that to Patrick, you know what he would say? You take a Nikon 900 and you take it down to Lake Louisville.
You bring up
right. Like, wait. What, can we stay with the stick thing for just
someone
2 seconds?
Say, what about Lake Texoma?
And then riding on a plane. You know, he talked about if you walk east-west, you would eventually come back to where you were. In his flat, the Earth is a pizza theory, right?
Because you're just walking a big circle on the flat Earth.
You're walking in a big circle. And that seems to make sense, right? He's explained away the fact that you'll end up where you started. But it does not account for the fact that if you walked in that circle in different parts of the world, then the... why are you walking in a circle? Like, why are you leaning left?
Right.
Or leaning right?
Here's what I guess his argument would... Yeah, I don't know. So he said it was about 20,000 miles to the end of the Earth. If you just walked a straight line from the North Pole out to the edge, it's 20,000 miles. Can you imagine then how big the circumference of the Earth is? If it's 20,000 straight out, the Earth must be so massive. Would his argument be that you're walking in a circle, but you don't realize it? Yeah, but why would you have even this slight lean to the
right.
left?
He's got to explain the lean. Why do we lean towards the left or right, depending which direction we're walking?
Would he say the government is doing something to make you lean that way?
He can make up, he's going to make up something that will explain it. Also, to me, in my way of thinking, and you can tell me if I'm thinking incorrectly, it seems like depending on where you are, the distance around what we think is the Earth would be different. Whereas if it's a sphere, no matter where I walk, if I walk east-west, right, it's going to be a certain distance, provided I'm going around the Earth.
You're always going around. Like, you're not going...
Directly east-west.
For example, if you walk...
walking in a diagonal.
If you walk the Arctic Circle, and you walk that right on it, it would be a shorter trip around Earth than the equator.
Mm-hmm. Correct. But if I walk... northeast, what am I going to hit?
From here? The Touchdown Brothers.
Yes.
Philadelphia.
Okay, and then after that.
New York.
As I continue around the globe, let's say I walk all the way around.
Okay.
And I don't hit the ice wall, but yet I end up exactly where I come from.
Yeah.
And it's a certain distance, and that distance is the same as it is if I walk directly east-west at the equator.
Right.
Why is that?
Because the government's making
theory.
You. The government's making you lean.
Okay. The government's making you lean. All right, it's too frustrating. Hey, Junior, I have this one for you. Former student teacher and assistant track coach accused of having sexual relationship with a high school student may have her charges dropped. Taylor Boncull is her name. 23 years of age. She told police that she loved the boy after she was arrested, and she's been granted accelerated rehabilitation, meaning that she will have the charges dropped in 2020. And I don't know if we originally did her story when it came out, so I thought I would do it now because she's eligible for this rehabilitation.
Oh,
get your take on this story.
You know, I've heard what you've had to say so far, and I got to say, my needle's not really moving one way or the other. I don't know that I'm interested or disinterested.
George, will you hand this police paperwork I have here over to Junior Miller and tell me what you think about this story of teacher-student lovemaking?
Hello, news story. Suddenly, a tremendous amount of interest. I need as many details as possible.
This happened in Connecticut.
Hello, Taylor Boncull.
New Britain, Connecticut. And this was, she was charged in March. George, you might want to hand that over to George. I don't think George took a good look at it.
It's wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
I'm not saying
check
it's not
that
wrong.
Out,
I agree.
Check that out,
don't
George.
That. I agree that it's wrong. What do you think of her?
She looks like she's 23.
Oh, he's checking her out.
Look at those two bikini shots.
Check that out, man.
Don't say that, man.
Get a load of that, man.
No.
Come on,
he acts disgusted, yet he's feasting his
disgusting.
Eyes
she
all
be
over those
staring
bikini
at the picture.
I'm not staring at him, and she shouldn't have been messing with high school kids.
He's taking his finger and putting it on this particular area on that picture.
No,
what are
you
doing?
Stuff like that.
Here, very attractive.
Take your dirty stories.
It's not a dirty story. I mean, it is a dirty story. It's a horrible story. But yes, so she is our non-P1 teacher of the week.
Let's try to not get her at ticket stock next year.
All right, that ought to show her.
Yeah.